Isaiah tonight. We left off with the 8th verse last week. We'll pick it up there and read and then go on into the 9th verse and on. This division now from chapters 8, from verses 8 through the balance of the chapter, it tells what follows when Israel obeys the word. And it tells what follows when we as individuals today obey the word. This word obey, I can't get away from it, because this is what we as saints need to do, is obey him. Praise the Lord. So when this 8th verse is fulfilled, and let's read it, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. And then the little word then again. Now this will be what will happen after this, after the Lord does this for them in the 8th verse. In the 9th verse, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. That's what he does with us today when we cry unto the Lord. He says, I'm here. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and there's several, I think five things here that the Lord will do. If thou take away, or Israel, the Lord wants Israel to do this. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, that's the first one, and the putting forth of the finger, that's the second, and the third is speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, that's the fourth. And then satisfy the afflicted soul. Notice it's the soul that God is speaking concerning here. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Let's just stop there, because this is precious. The Lord is there, and I'm glad. That's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. That's the last words in the book of Ezekiel, is the Lord is there. That will be in the heavenly Jerusalem. But their prayer and their call is going to be answered when the Lord says, here I am. So they're told, as we said, first to take away from the midst of the yoke. This in the 6th verse and the 4th part of the verse, these are called bands of wickedness. To loose the bands of wickedness, those who have advantage or power over us. And today, this is what man wants, is he wants power over others. And this is what, and Satan will use man to gain control over our thinking, over our ways. But we need to submit our hearts and our minds to the Word of God. And when that is happens, and we take our place as a new creation, Satan can't touch us. We're a new creation, and he cannot control us. And that's the way it's going to be with Israel in the last days. They're going to, in this yoke here, we'll in that last day, we'll refer not only to people, but it will refer to Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet. And we see today how nations, and this nation especially, is trying to control and is controlling other nations. There, Glenn was reading out of Daniel last night. I'll tell you, talk about a picture of this country. They're stamping the residue of the nations. And this is what they're doing. Look what they've done over in Afghanistan, and they want to do it in Iraq now. They want to do it in South Korea. So these scriptures are being fulfilled right before our eyes. Oh my, I thank the Lord he's opened our eyes to this, that we're close to the coming of the Lord. All right, then he says, the second thing here is putting forth of the finger. This is scoffing or being scornful at godly, humble men. This is what, of course, Satan uses men to do this, and it's part of the persecution that we go through. In 57:4, the 57th chapter, in the 4th verse, He says, against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out your tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? That's the same thought that we have here with putting forth the finger, scoffing, causing others to feel or be a, want, they want them to be ashamed. This is the thought there, to of humble men, because we walk with the Lord and depend upon the Lord. And then speaking vanity, and this is quite a well, I call it something here that man does. It's pretending to be friendly publicly, but then speaking evil or vanity of those in responsible positions. They're friendly before their face, but then when they turn from them, then they begin to speak vanity, especially to those who are over them. Man doesn't want to be controlled, but so he takes it out, and he pretends to be friendly for lots of reasons. Sometimes he does this to get ahead himself. And then in the 10th verse, he says, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. This drawing out the soul to the hungry is bestowing upon the spiritually hungry what their soul desires. As we said, notice who he's pointing this to is to the soul. This is what needs the Word of God, is our souls. In Psalms 107, there were some scriptures, several scriptures I looked up regarding this, but we're just going to read this one regarding the soul. There's so much in the Psalms about. Psalms 107 and the 9th verse. This is a precious verse. I've loved it. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He is the only one who can satisfy the soul. He's the only one. And it's through this Word of God. When our souls thirst after righteousness, he will fill that soul, that longing heart, and that soul. He fills them with himself. And it's wonderful to allow him to do this. And then we have no desire for anything else. Praise the Lord. So this is what the remnant is going to do. They're going to draw out their soul to the hungry, help others spiritually, and then satisfy the afflicted soul. The afflicted soul here speaks of those who are destitute and those who are bowed down in need. And there's going to be many at the end of the 7 years, when after all of the judgments are going to be poured out. We were talking about this that happened on the 11th, and how they found some bodies the other day, a policeman, we were talking about when these earthquakes begin to come during the 7 years, man is not going to be able to clean up. He's not going to be able to dig for all of the bodies. There are going to be so many during that 7 year period of tribulation. It will be impossible. But they're trying to do it now. So if the remnant does this, and this is especially speaking to the remnant, but it also speaks to us, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Praise the Lord, thy light rise in obscurity. Let's go to Psalms 112. I like to have the scriptures that correspond with these verses that we read. As we have learned over the years, and many of the older Bible teachers have gone on, have said that the Bible is a commentary on itself, and it is. Psalms 112 and the 4th verse. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the dark. Isn't that a wonderful verse? If we're in a trial, and many of us are right now, there ariseth light in the darkness. We may feel that if this trial is heavy and it's dark, but he's there. He comes forth and he riseth, and it's to the upright. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. And this is what he's going to do with his remnant. He's going to arise and help them in their need. Praise the Lord. And then thy darkness shall be as the noonday. Now let's, in Isaiah, let's read 49, chapter 49, 9. These are marvelous scriptures. Thy darkness be as the noonday. Remember what time we're speaking of. It's right at the end of the 7 years when this remnant is going to turn to the Lord. So Isaiah 49, 9. Well, we better read the 8th with it. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, or Israel, speaking of, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in high places. Well, praise the Lord. The rest of that's wonderful, too, but we won't read it. Let's go over to the 60th chapter of Isaiah and read the 2nd verse. Remember again, as we said, what time this is speaking of, and it's going to be a time of the Antichrist, and at the end of that time, when this darkness will be real, it will be so dark. We read in the book of Revelation that you can't even feel it. It will be so dark. You can almost touch it. All right, the 2nd verse. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. This remnant, this is when he comes down out of the glory. It's going to be a marvelous time for this remnant, and he comes to deliver them. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. We'll be with the Lord then, and we'll see all this. In fact, I believe we'll be coming down with him at this time, when he comes down and reveals himself to the nation Israel, to this little remnant that's going to be left. All right, this 10th verse, or the 11th verse, resumes from verse 8, where he talks there about thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. And then in the 11th verse, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. That's a marvelous verse. I remember the first, I was laying on a divan in my apartment in Kansas City when the Lord spoke that verse to my heart many years ago, and it's been precious to me ever since. Praise the Lord. All right, these promises of abundant blessing are going to be to Israel, or they're to us now as we yield to the Lord. The first one, the Lord will guide thee continually, or constantly. And he does this, and he does it by his grace. We read that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And there are many, many scriptures throughout the Word on the Lord guiding us. He is our shepherd. He guides us beside the still water. Wonderful. So many scriptures on that. And the second here is to satisfy thy soul in drought. I want to read Jeremiah 31:14. All of us experience, as we walk with the Lord, we experience a drought at some time in our walk. But he satisfies our soul during that time. We just get in and we begin to read the Word and meditate in the Word. And this is what the Lord does for us. Because remember who we are. We are kings and we're priests unto God. And this verse in Jeremiah 31:14 just speaks to me. And I will satiate, or satisfy beyond limit, is when the meaning of that. The soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? He'll satisfy beyond limit. He'll give to drink. He'll irrigate. When we lived in Colorado, we saw the irrigation that went on so much around in Delta and Grand Junction. This is what he does. He irrigates the land. It doesn't always come down as rain, but it comes from underneath. You know, I remember I told Glenn this a while back. There was a dear sister, well, it was Joanne Clement's mother, Sister Yost, who was in the Kansas City meeting. And she was a quiet saint, just precious. She always sat on the front row and she played the piano, but oh, she was dear. And when she prayed, you could hardly hear her. Well, one day we were at a fellowship meeting at Sister Louise Foster's, and I heard somebody over there saying, "Hallelujah," from way down deep. I couldn't believe it. When I looked over, it was her. I mean, it was the Holy Spirit. And this is what this made me think of, the irrigation. It comes from way down deep. And I'll tell you, when she began praising the Lord, that set that whole place on fire. It was wonderful. And this praise the Lord, hallelujah. It was precious. Praise the Lord. Let's read chapter 41, 17 and 18. The Lord's given us some wonderful experiences in the things of the Lord over the years, and I thank Him for each one of them. They've been precious to my heart. 41, 17, and 18. And this verse starts not with the word when, but with the word the, and it should be capitalized. The poor and the needy seek the water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. And these are spiritual water he's talking about now. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. This is when the latter rain's going to fall. And the Holy Spirit is just, it's not only natural water, this is spiritual water he's talking about. And then he talks about the different trees that he's going, we went into that there, that he will plant in the wilderness. That's a wonderful scripture. Review your notes if you want to on that. I went back and reviewed some of them, and they're wonderful. All right, the next thing he's going to do here in the 11th verse is make fat thy bones, or make strong thy bones. In other words, he infuses this remnant, and he does it for us now. He infuses us with new vigor, these bones when they grow weary, so that we can, so that our physical frame becomes the instrument of fulfilling the will of God. You ever be bone weary? You've heard that expression. Well, when we're bone weary, the Lord will infuse us with make us strong physically through the Word of God as we walk with Him with new vigor. Now, we have some scriptures I want to read on this. Let's read Isaiah 66, 14. And as we all get, add a few years onto us, we all experience these things. So they're for us, for each one of us. Isaiah 66, 14. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. Here again, the bones shall flourish like an herb. Then let's go over to Proverbs. Well, let's start with Job first. He's the first one. Job 21 and 23 and 24. I love to run the marginal references on these scriptures because they give us a fuller understanding of what the Lord is talking about. All right, Job 21, and let's read the 22nd, starting there. Job is talking here. He says, shall any teach not God knowledge, seeing he judgeth those that are high? One dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. His breast, or his milk pails, in the margin here, are full of milk, and his bones are moistened with marrow. Now, I didn't take the time to look up the marrow, but I know the marrow is very important. Do anyone know exactly what the marrow does? But I know it's very important because when Nell had, with this MS, this is what causes the bones to, the ache, that the marrow is gone out of the bones. So it's very important. I believe it's a fat that's in the bone, but I'm not sure. All right, then let's go to Proverbs 3 and verses 7 and 8. I like to look up these scriptures. Okay, Proverbs 3, 7, and 8. This chapter, this book of Proverbs is a marvelous book. It just has such rich truth in it. Proverbs 3, 7, and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Again, the word marrow, to the bones. It's something that's in the bones. So the Lord begins to invigorate us with the power of God. So as our physical frame does become weary, but he infuses it with his power so we can fulfill his will. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. All right, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, back in Isaiah 58:11. Be like a watered garden. This is going to be the effects of the Holy Spirit upon this remnant when he begins to work in their lives. And there's nothing more beautiful than a garden that is watered without all the weeds. Let's go over to Numbers 24. We're the garden of the Lord, as we know from Song of Solomon, which we've read just lately. We too are the garden of the Lord, and he comes into his garden, and he eats out of his garden, as Song of Solomon, the fifth chapter, the first verse tells us. Praise the Lord. Okay, Numbers 24. This in Numbers is concerning when Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel. And the Lord wouldn't let him. And if you want to read all of these, I love this. There were seven parables that Balaam took up. And they're in the 23rd and 24th chapters, I think. They include those chapters. And this is right before they went into the land of Canaan. And God wouldn't let Balaam do it. And this parable here that we're going to read is the third parable that the second verse says here in Numbers 24. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him, the Holy Spirit. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open said, he has said, which heard the words of God, saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents! And this is what he spoke. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel, as the valleys are that they spread forth, as the gardens by the riverside, as the trees of line aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Oh, this is a marvelous prophecy. We could go on and read it, but if you want to read some wonderful things, this book of Numbers, I love it. And there's some marvelous prophecies here regarding the future of this nation Israel. Over there in this same chapter, the 24th chapter, in the fourth parable, in the 17th verse, this is what he predicted. He predicted Jesus Christ coming. He says, I shall see him, talking about Jesus, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. This is Christ. and a scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth, or the sons of tumult. Marvelous predictions and prophecies here in these parables that Balak or Balaam prophesied over the nation Israel. They just thrill me when I realize what the Lord's going to do for this nation. It's going to be marvelous. They're going to be like a watered garden. Then over in Jeremiah 31, I'm glad we're going to be able to see this. When the Lord comes, we'll be up in the glory, and we'll be able to visualize and see all of this that he's doing. Because in Revelation, we know that we're going to be coming down with him. Revelation 31 and the 12th verse. This, again, speaking of the redeemed of Jacob and the ransom, they ransomed them. In the 12th verse, ransom him from the hand of him that was stronger than he, that was the Antichrist. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd. And their soul, again, notice, shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. This will be the end of their sorrowing. That's going to be a wonderful time for this nation Israel. Praise the Lord. You know, we read these words which the Holy Spirit has written, and this is what the Lord reminds me of more and more, is that sometimes we can just read these words as words, but these are words that the Holy Spirit has written, and he's got them here for a reason, for us to know what is coming to pass in this nation Israel. Praise the Lord. All right, if you've had any comments on this as we go through it, why, bring them out. It's going to be marvelous. But this is what we can be now to the Lord. He can look upon us in this way. And then like a spring of water whose waters fail not. They never fail, and there's another meaning of fail is deceive. When I was a girl, we used to go through the deserts of southern states, and we'd see this up ahead of us, which looked like a lake. And as we all know what it is, it's a mirage. And you get there, and there's nothing there. Well, this is what the false prophets told Israel was going to happen. Well, the Lord does not deceive. And this nation Israel is going to be like a spring of water whose waters deceive not. They will be all this to the nation Israel, or to the nations as they turn to the Lord. They'll be like a thirsty. They'll give water to the thirsty traveler. And it won't be a mirage. It'll be the real truth of the Lord. It's going to be wonderful when they become the evangelist to the world. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, let's go on then in the 12th verse. That 11th verse is marvelous. All right, 12th verse. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. This is a precious verse here, and I would read it out of another translation of it. The ruins of ages thy children shall build. Now remember how long that this nation has been in the land of Canaan. When Joshua took them in the book of Joshua, this is how long they've been there. But because of their disobedience, there's ruin upon ruin in that nation. But the ruins of ages thy children shall build. Thou shalt raise up again the foundations of many generations. So shalt thou be called repairer of breach, restorer of streets for man's dwelling. Now this is when they come from everywhere, all over the world, and I'm going to read several scriptures here. They're going to receive the title here, repairer of the breach, and restorer of the streets. And this is what spiritually they're going to be, but also they're going to do this, what we say naturally. They're going to restore that nation, but spiritually they're going to be this too to the other nations. Spiritually, there are many wells in the land of Israel. And I could have gotten into this today because I read back in Genesis where Abimelech, they covered over some of the wells. And when Isaac came, they uncovered these wells. And this is what they're going to do. And then the foundations, but we'll get into that in a little bit. Let's read chapter 52:9 of Isaiah. There's spiritual truth in this. It's not the foundations of the buildings, especially he's talking about, but spiritually he's talking about the foundation. All right, 52 and the 9th verse. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. All the waste places, and there are going to be a lot of them after the 7 years of tribulation. And then over in chapter 61:4, see, this is repeated for us for a reason. So we'll realize what this world is going to look like. It's not only going to be the nation Israel, it's going to be the whole world that's going to be desolate. And the nation Israel is going to be the one who's going to be the restorer, as it says here, the restorer of the paths and the repairer of the breach of all these things that have happened. All right, in 61 and the 4th verse, and they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. All that has happened to them. Okay, let's go over to Ezekiel 36. The Lord had a reason now for writing this for us. All of this was written for us, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. I love that scripture. Praise the Lord. 36:10. Let's start with the 8th verse. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel. For they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. Marvelous what he's going to do for that people. And I will multiply men upon you, and all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builted. We could go on and read there, but let's go over to the book of Amos. The prophets are full of this. Amos 9, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and then Amos. Amos 9, and let's start with the 11th verse. This is repeated now in the book of Acts, and we'll read that in just a little bit. Amos 9 and verse 11. In that day, and the speaking now of this day we're talking about, the end of the 7 years, will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. These breaches, the breach here is a rupture or a fracture. And the walls of Jerusalem not only had these breaches in the natural, all around the walls of Jerusalem, because in several of the Old Testament books, it talks about that the priests were responsible for repairing the breaches, and they didn't do it in one of the books books we were reading. They didn't do it. They were false priests, and the breaches speak of the fractures, and all of this came upon Israel and will during the 7 years because of the Antichrist who's going to come. He's going to bring a division or a fracture between the nation Israel and the Lord. In fact, he's going to bring it to the whole world. All right, Amos 9:11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. This nation Israel, today they're looking for their Messiah. When they disobeyed the Lord, and especially when they finally consented to putting, in fact, they were instigated his being put upon Calvary and dying for them. This is when the breach really came between the nation Israel and the Lord. And he's going to close up this breach between Israel and between the Lord, between Jesus when he comes again. They're going to accept him, and then this breach will be closed up. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Eden and Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. And we could go on and read that. Let's read the 13th. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. And he's going to bring Israel back. Now let's read this over in Acts 15. This sermon was given by James at the conference that they held. Acts 15 and verse 16, and I want to start James in verse 13. Let's start there. Verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, or Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. That's what he's doing during this church age. He's taking out of the Gentiles a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this church age, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will, not only the material tabernacle, but it's his kingdom. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men, this is Israel, might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things known unto God, are all his work from the beginning of the world. Isn't that a marvelous scripture? So here we see it, the outline of the ages, how God called Israel first, and then during this age he's taking out a people for his name, and after this age he will return and build again the tabernacle of David. All right. Are there any thoughts on any of this now? Okay. Now, we mentioned that about the wells, too. There are many wells that are covered over, and there's many foundations of truth that have been covered with dirt. I'm talking about spiritual truths that have been covered over by man. They don't want to hear these spiritual truths anymore. In Psalms 11:3, I wrote the verse down. It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We can't do anything. If God's word, we have to have this word of God, because we're righteous and we need this word of God. All right, I want to read in Luke now. If you'll follow us, this is a Bible study. I remember when Fina began coming to the meeting, she didn't know where one book was from another, and she had to learn. She learned pretty quick. Luke 6, and I want to start with the 46th verse. We have a foundation, and it's Christ himself, and we'll read that in a little bit. And he today is being covered over by many ministers. All right, verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What does Lord mean? Controller. Yes. If you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I say, I'm not your controller. This is what he's saying. Whosoever cometh to me in need and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And that rock is Christ, we read in 1 Corinthians 10. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. 1 Corinthians 10:4, that rock is Christ. That's a wonderful scripture. Then in 1 Corinthians 3, let's go there next. Several scriptures here we'd like to read. 1 Corinthians 3, we'll always be thankful that we've studied the Word. All right, 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Paul is talking now. And another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he is that foundation. Praise the Lord. Then let's go over to Ephesians 2:20. Praise the Lord. We could quote some of these, but let's read the 19th with it. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Then I want to read a scripture in 2 Timothy, and then I had a couple more. I'll give them to you, but I don't think we'll read them. But let's go to 2 Timothy 2, the wonderful scriptures in Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure. It standeth unaffected, unshakable. Praise the Lord. You cannot shake him. He is that foundation. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This iniquity here means a condition of doing wrong, walking in the flesh, in other words. Praise the Lord. All right. I mentioned that scripture in regarding the priest, and I'm going to read it. It's in 2 Kings 12. This is something we, as we said, we could have gotten into, but we'll just pass this along. And we are priests, kings and priests unto God, and we are to repair the breaches to wonderful truth in all of this. 2 Kings 12:5-6. Let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. And that's quite a bit in there to take up tonight, but it's the priests were to do it. But in this day that's coming, Israel then will be the people that God has called them to be, and that's priest unto God. They were called as a holy priest unto the Lord. And the priest instructs the people concerning the ways of the Lord. The priest instructs them concerning their everyday lives and regarding the services of the house of the Lord. The priest in the Levitical covenant had an important place, and we do today in the purposes of God. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go back to Isaiah 58. This nation Israel is going to be a marvelous nation when they turn to the Lord. All right, let's read the last two verses. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. This is Israel's future that we see right here. He talks about the Sabbath. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, who is our Sabbath? Yes, Jesus Christ. And Sabbath means rest. So it's in Christ himself they're going to have their rest. This glorified living Christ. He will not be the one they saw when he walked down here those 33 years. This is going to, he's a glorified, an arisen Christ now. And that's who they are going to turn to. Praise the Lord. And our rest doesn't depend upon special days, but this rest that we have in the Lord is continuous. Every day, day in and day out. And our delight is in the Lord. Notice he says there regarding and call the Sabbath a delight. He is our Sabbath and he is our delight. And as we delight in him, and I thank the Lord for this, as we delight in the Lord, we will not want to go our own ways, nor find our own pleasure, nor speak our own words. We will delight in the Lord. We'll walk with him, delighting ourselves in the Lord. This is the highest occupation that there is. Let's go over to Proverbs 14. Praise the Lord. When you go around the house and you begin to sing unto the Lord, or wherever you are, driving a car, sing unto the Lord. And the Holy Spirit begins to minister to your heart and you begin to have communion with him moment by moment. It's marvelous. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 14:23. This is regarding speaking thine own words. In all thy labor, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The word penury means extreme poverty. Useless talk, that's what he's talking about here. It's useless talk. As we yield to the Lord, when we talk, our words should edify. And Paul talks about this in many scriptures in his writings. That our words be unto edification. They will enable someone to be built up, to encourage someone in the things of the Lord. They will not be useless words. Praise the Lord. And this is what the nation Israel will do. We do this because it's Christ in us. And when Christ in us, he doesn't say things that are useless. He says things that edify, that build up. Oh, praise the Lord. We sit here. All of you are sitting here. But we have this divine one within us. And he's the one that's listening to this. He uses our eyes. He uses our ears. But the main thing is he gets down into the heart. And that heart begins to let this word be written upon it. And it becomes our life. And this new man in us grows. That's inside of us as we are here tonight. That life in us grows. Praise the Lord. The 14th verse says, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. That's what's wonderful to me. We too delight ourselves in the Lord. And the high places of the earth that they will ride upon... To Israel, it speaks of their sovereign rights and their prominent position that they're going to have. To us, during this church age, the high places are in the heavenlies. We've been raised up together, and we've been made to sit together in heavenly places, as Ephesians, the first chapter, tells us. The things that are there in the heavenlies where we are seated are our possessions right now. Everything that's in Christ He's in us and we're in him. And everything that he has is ours. We can possess everything that he has, all the riches, as we walk in the Spirit and we begin to claim the things that are ours in Christ. Praise the Lord. He seated us there, so he wants us to take a hold of everything that's there. We can't even begin to realize what's there in the glory. If we were there in these natural bodies, we couldn't even see. But when we get there, we're going to have a body that's going to be able to understand that not with these eyes fail, but one of these days, we're going to see with eyes, spiritual eyes. Praise the Lord. Then they're going to be fed with the heritage of Jacob, thy father. Israel has never inherited all the inheritance that was given to Jacob because of their unbelief and their apostasy. But the remnant of Israel, and as we studied the book of Ezekiel, we found out that they're going to inherit all that land from clear the river Euphrates, clear up to the over to the sea, and then up north to, I think it's Dan, and then down to Beersheba. They're going to inherit all of this land. And it tells in that book of Ezekiel how the tribes are going to be divided. It's a marvelous, marvelous study. And Maybeth took it off tape for us. So she's been through this book. It's a one wonderful book. Let's read in closing, let's read the book of Micah in the 4th chapter. Praise the Lord. All of this has already been purposed, see, in the counsels of God, and it's coming to pass. We sit here sometimes thinking, well, how soon is it going to come? Well, it could start tonight. This could come anytime. This Philadelphia company is not, God has promised the Philadelphia company in the book of Revelation that we will not go through that hour of trial or the 7 years tribulation. We're going to be taken out of it before it happens, before it comes. What is going on in the world today, all of this that is growing, this terror is terrorism. This is building up to this. And I believe with all my heart that the Antichrist is there, just ready to come forth. But he cannot come forth until that bridal company is in heaven. And in Revelation 6, they say, come to this Antichrist. I believe he's here, and I believe that what's coming now is the beginning of sorrows, if you've read Brother Gene Hawkins in the Grace and Glory. We are at this time. I do believe it. Praise the Lord. He wants us to be awake to this fact. That's why he says in Hebrews, together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We need to gather together. We don't need to be occupied with things that are earthly, that are, if it's a job or whatever it is. The Lord wants us to lay these things aside because he has set a time for us to gather together. This is his word. Micah 4:1-7. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it all over the world. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth as Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's why today the enemy wants the Palestinians to have that city, but they're not going to get it. They may for just a brief time to set up that image in the holy place, but they're not going to have this city. This city belongs to the Lord. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they're not going to like it. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. Think what's going on now. There's fear everywhere because of what's going on in this world today, in Israel especially. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. This, that fourth part is the ungodly that walk after the name of his God. But we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, I will assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, that's speaking of the peep, the remnant, and her that I have afflicted. Notice God has afflicted this remnant because he wants them to turn to him. You know, when we're afflicted and we're in trial, where do we go? To the Lord, don't we? See, that's what this remnant's going to do. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. He's going to give them miraculous power. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. This book of Micah is rich. In fact, all of this word is so good. When we studied these prophets, we went into all of these truths. We taught them many years ago. And you want to get back in them and to get, have the Lord bring it all back to your mind, because you can't remember all of this. There's so much. But this is what it's going to be like. The Lord is going to raise this nation up, and they are going to be over all